What's up, folks? We are back with the Junior NBA Coaches Corner podcast today, talking about team culture, Monica.
And here to help us dive in, we're talking with Florida women's basketball head coach Kelly Finley. It's not just culture, it's environment.
Welcome to the Junior NBA Coaches Corner. Here are your hosts, Dallin Cuff and Monica McNutt.
What's up, folks? Welcome back into the Junior NBA Coaches Corner podcast alongside Monica McNutt. I'm Dallin Cuff. Mon, today we're talking about building team culture. Got a great guest, the women's basketball coach in Florida, Kelly Finley, is joining us. She's had a fantastic year. Her first year as the head coach, won 20 plus games for the first time since 2016, at-large bids to the tournament. All that stuff is great. They won games. This conversation, she is just an interesting person and an interesting coach. Her perspective is fantastic.
Her perspective is incredible. And I think the combination of both her life experiences and, of course, her passion for teaching the game of basketball, mm-hmm. the way that the two seem to meet almost seamlessly is incredible. Like, yeah. I know we talk a lot about protecting our peace, and I think sometimes the idea of being a competitor and needing to win can be at odds with that. But in listening to her talk, I don't feel like they have to be. Like, just really do your, like, for real, do your best, but not in a high, pie in the sky, rainbows and roses kind of way. Do your best with integrity and see what happens and be okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, it was refreshing to say. I mean, that's like, it's just a different perspective. And I think also, like, obviously, I mentioned this on the pod too. There was a certain way that coaching was supposed to be done up until for decades and decades. And I was a product of that. Doesn't have to be done that way. And, you know, mm-hmm. better players and better people if it's done differently. So it was just, I love talking with her.
I am thrilled for our audience to listen. I mean, I say this on the pod too. We talk to a ton of coaches and they drop pearls left and right. Mm-hmm. But there's something very timely, I think, about this conversation with Coach Finley, just in terms of, like, forget you're talking about basketball. Just listen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yep. Just listen.
Exactly. People can say, like, that person has it. Whatever it is, she's got it. And now we're joined by Coach Finley. Coach, thank you so much for your time. Great to be on here with you. Let's just start here. So we talk about building team culture. And it's that word is thrown around a lot. Let's just say that when it comes to sports in general. It's tossed around a lot. But it is important in terms of you building your culture. You went from associate head coach at UF to the interim head coach, then the head coach, and had a historic first year as the official head coach. But when you make that, as you're part of the program, how do you define your culture when you're now, as you kind of went through those steps, how do you make it kind of yours and ours?
Okay, so Dallin, first of all, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate the time this morning. But it's kind of funny to start off with the word culture. You know, our team would tell you that that's like a trigger word for me a little bit. So I really think about it in terms of environment, right? And mm-hmm. so culture, environment, you know, I don't know really so much what's the difference, but when we talk about building our environment that we want and how we want to spend our days and how we want to share our days, you hit it, you know, you hit the nail right on the head when you said making it us and ours. And I think, you know, when we talk about our team, something that our student athletes hear a lot from me is our team is all of us. It's our athletic trainer, our strength and conditioning coach, our coaching staff, our juniors, our seniors, our freshmen, you know, all of our sophomores, everybody, because we are one team. And so it's an us versus them, you know, and then how can we be the best that we can be? And one thing that we really tried to focus on was, you know, we always want to celebrate the uniqueness of the individuals within our program, within the context of the team. And then from there, you know, nobody likes to feel like who they are is not enough, right, Dallin? So we talk a lot about how can I be myself or how can you be you and then do so with a little bit more skill? Because as humans, you know, we naturally want to grow, we want to achieve, you know, and as young women and as women, you know, we want to be competitive and courageous and fierce and tough and kind and nurturing and caring and loving all at the same time. And so really focused on building those things. And that's really where we started last year.
I love be you with a little more skill. That's fantastic.
I mean, well, thank you, Monica, because, you know, nobody, you know, so, okay. So here's an example in basketball, right? Like say talk. And nobody wants to hear that. Like, gosh, what do you mean when you say talk? you know, and then sometimes you say, well, I'm naturally quiet. I'm naturally introverted. That's who I am. Okay, be that. But on the court and in this environment, right, if we want to be the best that we can be, you can be that and have a little bit more skill, which would mean communicating, and we want to train communication just like we train ball handling, right? Because when you go out and you're a professional, whether it's a professional in athletics or a professional, you know, a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, you're going to have to be able to communicate. And so think of those things, not in terms of we're changing who you are, because we want you to be you. That's why we recruited you, right? But do so with a little more skill. Like for me personally, I cried every single time I had to public speak when I was in high school. My senior speech, guys, oh, I boo-hooed the whole time. So it's not in my comfort zone, but that's okay. But if we're going to be our best, I need to improve on that. I need to have that skill, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's to me, counter to that. Well, not counter, I guess in line with that would be the word polish, which is kind of what I use.
Yeah.
When I'm talking to my young girls, like, you're great in who you are, but you got to understand whatever the task is set in front of you, because then to hone in on your word, communication, like, that is the bedrock of anything that we attempt to do, whether it's building an environment, you got to be able to communicate effectively. So I love that, Coach. I mean, that's so powerful. Do you find that now that you've given your players that guidance, there's more trust?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. We've been talking about that a lot in the first 3 weeks. So our student athletes have just gotten back on campus, and it starts with trusting yourself. It starts with being courageous. It starts with, and you know, Dallin, to go back to kind of the question regarding last season, we set out to fearlessly attack whatever the task was ahead of us and do it to the best of our ability, knowing that if we failed, it was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And when we started to do that, that's when you started to see more and more success. Because, you know, sometimes you hold yourself back. Sometimes it's scary. What if I try my hardest and it's not good enough? Wow. That's like crushing. I learned that when I was 27, you know, and I worked at Colorado and we got fired. And you know what? We worked our hardest and we absolutely did our best and it wasn't good enough. And that's okay. And here I am today and here we are. And you know, whatever comes in the future, it's going to be okay. Right. And so when we attack things with that mentality, oh boy, it made a world of difference.
So have you always been that way? Because we don't hear that very often. Right. And that's not like a thing that's thrown around a lot.
I mean, that's just me being real, guys. What you get to know once you start to know me is like, you know, facts are facts and feelings are feelings. And then, you know, Monica, to kind of what you're talking about, we have quite a few little taglines that we talk about. And another one, Dallin, in building that culture or that environment is we do hard things. And hard doesn't necessarily mean bad, right? And so a lot of times hard is associated with bad in your mind. Well, why does that have to be the case? So we've spent a lot of time, you know, thinking about that, doing questionnaires, doing worksheets and workshops. And, you know, I'm big on training your mind. If you train your mind as much as you train your body, I don't know, the results will follow. But, you know, we can do hard things, and doing hard things can be really, really fun. And so that's kind of, you know, where we started off. And we were fortunate to have success, you know, in terms of wins and losses. And if that wouldn't have been the case, I know that we would have still felt very, very accomplished in the season that we had last year.
Hold on one quick, Monica. We gotta dive deeper into this a little bit, because I do find it like we have had coaches from all different generations, backgrounds, but and we talked about the mental piece. We've done a podcast about mental health, but you seem very focused on this. And as the elder statesman on the podcast here, didn't have that when I was playing. That was not really the focus of the coaches I had. The great dudes, but that was a little different. Has this been your approach? Where did you take this from? How have you kind of grown in this focus on the mental side as much as the physical side?
You know, and it's not for everybody, Dallin. I'll start there. It's not for everybody, and that's okay. I will say, you know, going back to the give your best effort no matter what, and reducing the fear of failure, right? I think a lot of times we protect ourselves because of that. And something that our team and our program know, I have a sister who's handicapped. I have a brother who played in the NHL. I have a sister who played basketball at Harvard, and she's a sports psychologist. But we also have a sister who's has special needs. And so when you say, like, where did you get that? And where did you, you know, I think it's all about perspective, and everybody has different perspective. And that's a gift that I've had in my life to know that, you know, it's going to be okay. Right. And to lean into that fear just a little bit. But in terms of the mental side of things, I just think that, you know, even when we train weightlifting, we want our starts to be better, right? Well, if we want our starts to be better, how do we be more intentional? We're intentional with our actions, but what about our intentions and our thoughts? So, you know, you've heard the whole exercise of, you know, if I said to Monica what I was saying to myself, you know, we have a team full of overachievers. We have a team of people that have tremendous work ethic. They have a desire to do good, and they have a desire to want to be the best. Okay, well, if I can, as a coach, and our coaching staff can tap into that and reduce the fear, then maybe everybody can perform just a little bit better, and then our collective team will be better, right? So we kind of try to take a track approach. So an individual approach to the team approach as well, right? Yes. So we train individually to then collectively be our best. But I'm not, if I'm not going to say that to Monica, then why would I say that to myself? You know, but, you know, we as a coaching staff here, we don't assume that, you know, we have people from all different walks of life all over the world. Our team is extremely diverse, and diverse in their experiences, their backgrounds, their upbringings, you know, who they are, what they think, how they talk. And so we have to, you know, like you were saying, Dallin, in terms of culture, environment, we have to set the expectation and define, how do we communicate in this situation, that situation? What does mean being a part of Florida women's basketball mean? Okay, what is the perception? Maybe hear the hard things, you know, and then address them. And then how do we change some of those things if it's not necessarily what we want? And then when it is what we want, how do we continue to do those things and to grow and build, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there you go.
Done. We're done. All right.
Yeah, that's it.
No, we're not quite done yet. I think I know the answer to this, but I want to hear it from you. So what happens when we have conflict, which is inevitable because we're a team of 15 or so people trying to achieve the same goal, but not always in the same thought process?
Great question. So that's something that we need to address too. First, we have to start with, how do you individually handle conflicts? Well, if you don't know how you individually handle conflict, then how can we operate best as a team together? Okay, well, if I know that you might get really frustrated and you need some time away, or you need to step here, or okay, if this is what you need, but in this moment on the court, are you going to be able to have that? No, you're not going to be able to have that. So then how do we train that skill? You know, so how can we try to put pressure, you know, in practice and make those things come out, you know, in different settings, so that now when we're on the court in the SEC game and it's a one possession game, we've already worked through that. But it starts with, for us, knowing yourself and then being able to communicate that with the group. It's not ideal. And then me and our coaching staff being able to address those moments when they happen. Okay, stop. I hear you. I see this. Let's think about how could we do this different, whether it's in the moment or an hour later, or, you know, every situation might be different. But that's definitely something, Monica, that we address, that we talk about. We're in the, you know, every year in college basketball, you rebuild your team, right? So no 2 years is your team exactly the same. And so we're in the get to know you phase, right? So before I can guide you better, you have to know each other, and we have to learn each other better. So if I understand where you're coming from and I seek to understand your experiences, then I'm going to meet you where you are, right? And then ultimately understanding we are all on the same path, like you said, and we have the same mission. And if the mission and the goal is the same, we're always going to assume best of intent. So does it always work? No. Are we perfect? No, we're far from it. And we're okay with that.
Yeah. How do you lean on some of your leaders within your team? How do you lean on certain players? Because they're inevitably, this is the kind of Monica's question too about conflict. There are people that aren't always rowing the same direction. And it may not be your voice or the assistant coach's voice. How do you utilize your staff and players to kind of try to keep the environment as positive and then the way you guys want it built?
Yeah, I think it's there's a lot of structure in the system that we've built. And so, you know, you have different academic groups being very intentional with your planning, making sure that everybody is touching everybody in some shape, way, or form. And then within our team, developing that leadership, but understanding that first, before you can lead, you need to be able to lead yourself. Once you can lead yourself, then you can lead others. But in leading, not everybody has the same strengths and gifts. So we haven't had a captain. That's something that's maybe different or unique. Well, if the situation calls for X and somebody's skill set is best suited for X, then that's who should lead in that moment. Then everybody else should follow. Because if we aren't great followers, then we're going to have chaos.
Yeah.
You know, there's too many of us, and everybody has great ideas and everybody has ability to influence and guide. Are you using that to help us or are you using that to hurt us? Think about it. I can't control your choices. Our coaching staff does not control your choices, but under every feeling, there is a choice. So this morning you woke up, you felt tired. Well, did you come to workouts? That was a choice. That was a choice to make you better. And so just understanding that language, and they start to talk to each other like that. They start to guide each other in that way. They really start to pour into each other. And then it becomes really, really fun.
Not having a captain is so impressive.
I know, but sometimes people think it's scary, right?
Well, to me, it's impressive because I remember being tasked as a captain with utter chaos evolving around me off the court that, of course, inherently affects us on the court, right? And really feeling like we throw this label of captain out there, but have we helped said captain or players in general hone the skills that are required to do that well? Because that is a hard job if you take it seriously.
It's very hard. And to add on to what you're saying, Monica, I understand that. And you know, it's like, let's carry a rope. It's a 100-pound rope. Well, if all 12 of us are carrying the rope, because first we can lead ourselves. You know, we did a silly exercise last year, and I'll share this one thing. We really try as a coaching staff to illustrate the message that we're trying to get across. So it takes a little bit more forethought. It takes a little bit more time to do that. But I feel that as though it teaches much better. Right. Mm-hmm. So we had everybody partner up. So Monica and Dalen, you guys partner up, your partners. Okay, great. This was, you know, around COVID. So we had chairs in the gym. Right. And so everybody was responsible for their own area. And maybe I'm oversharing, but I think this is a good example of what we're talking about. So now, Monica, you're going to clean Dalen's area for him. Excuse me. What? Okay. You know, and it is small, right? It was short. But if Dalen had kept track of his stuff and kept his chair clean and his area clean, then you didn't have anything to do, right? And the lesson being, if I can lead myself, I am responsible for my choices and actions. I am responsible for how I communicate. I am responsible and I have ownership for what I choose to do, right? And within that, at some point, it's going to spill over to affect everybody or to affect one person or to, you know, whatever. And I thought that that was a really great exercise. It was small. It was short. It was painless. And it was a great exercise in terms of teaching how you are responsible for what you do, but it can affect everybody or other people. Mm-hmm. Once you do that, now I don't know. There hasn't been chaos, I will say.
What's wild about this podcast all the time, of course, we all go back to, I replay my career over and over again every time we have these things. But I was like, I was a senior captain. There's one, I couldn't guard a chair, but I was a good leader. And I realized, like, our coaches do that. But the problem with that is they leaned on that, as did the team. And the team it was a sophomore led group. Then I break my foot. I miss majority of the senior season. That became chaos. Like, those guys, they learned, just as one can learn to lead, they kind of learned to follow, but didn't lead. So are you seeing those that are kind of naturally maybe more followers? Do they gravitate toward this? Have they enjoyed the fact that they've been tasked with maybe coming out of their comfort zone and growing a little bit more as individuals? Have you seen that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. I think it's uncomfortable at first. But anything that is good is uncomfortable, I've found. And I've been really, really proud of this group and their willingness to do that. That, you know, and that carried over from last season's group. They were tremendous in their effort. And I think you guys have heard me say, you know, they created a great experience for me and they didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I told them I'm forever grateful and appreciative of that. And so, you know, just, you know, reiterating and going back to choices, you know, I think it's really, really important. And, you know, we all want to do good. We have a group of people that are really, really kind-hearted, and they're fun to coach in that way. Mm-hmm. So it makes it easier, you know?
Yeah. All right. This is the philosophical stuff. This is the environment building. But now we got to talk 21 seasons, ranked for the first time since 2016, I believe.
That's right.
When did you guys know internally, Kelly? Because I can remember when we started to turn a corner. You always know inside before everybody else gets hit.
That's right. So I posted something on social media the other day, and it pretty much said, if you know, you know, this was the scout. And it was a series of words on the board. And we were down 19 at Texas A&M. And we went into the locker room. I tasked them with, what do you want to be? The people who walk away from this gym, you know, very common coaching technique, right? But before that, I felt very strongly that this team had what it takes. Never did we get off track. We weren't easily snagged. We never shied away from doing hard things. We always, you know, Monica, you know, you've been a part of a team where you had that look in your eye, like, come on, let's do it. And I just felt a sincere desire to be better than we could be individually, right? And so that Texas A&M game was a turning point for us. Zippy messaged me when I posted that. She's if you know, you know. but it was, we did an exercise after that, Monica, where we took game times and I asked them to write down, what were you thinking? What were you feeling in those moments? And this all goes back to the leadership point, right? And that team last year did that. I didn't do that. I never made a basket. Our coaching staff did not do that. We helped guide them. But what we learned was some of our upperclassmen were like, man, we're dead. You know, what are you thinking when we went from up one to down 19 in 2 minutes? So we watched that portion of the game. Oh man, here we go again. We can't do it, blah, blah, blah. And then we had one player, Zippy, who was like, man, I thought we were hooping. I thought we were good. I was ready. And I was like, oh gosh. And what we learned in that moment though, Monica, was in this moment, that's who we need to follow. When we feel uncertain, when we are not sure if you can do it, and on that court, we need to listen to her voice and she needs to speak up because she believes unequivocally that we have what it takes. And so then we started to do that. And then in this moment, okay, maybe we need to follow here. And this person has really good strategy and Kiki is great with energy and she can lead us in terms of strategy. Okay, now we're rolling. And from that moment on, we fearlessly never looked back. And we were good with that, but that was kind of when we got back from that trip, we were like, wait a second, we're as good as the rest of these guys. Hold on. Why are we minimizing who we are and changing, you know, not only the environment and the culture, but the thinking, you know, and how we viewed ourselves. And I thought that was huge for us last season.
I love that.
Yeah, no doubt. That's, I mean, it, and it's a huge, you know, first year where you're the, you're now the full head coach, but now year two. So now as you're embarking on year two, what are some of the things you're focused on and your staff is focused on to build out the environment, but frankly, keep winning games?
Yeah. I mean, it's a unique situation. It's a very unique situation in that, you know, we had last year, but people say, oh, it was interim. Well, now this is your first year. I'm like, okay, all right. Well, I'm pretty sure I coached the games. We did what we did. It was our team, you know, like, okay. But I think that the process of team building, it never ends. And it has to be the number one thing always. We are very talented this year, but our success will be based on our resiliency, our adaptability, and our ability to connect, as well as sacrifice, because everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to be the best. Everybody wants those things. That should be your desire. You're a competitor, right? We don't try to minimize those things, but better try to understand each other and what, you know, whose skills are the best in each moment. And so, you know, just trying to build on those things, continue to grow, but, you know, in some ways you start all over, right? But with the foundation being set to, you know, work ethic and doing hard things and being selfless and being able to sacrifice, that's who we are.
Are you enjoying it, Coach?
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome.
I mean, I just, we've had a plethora of coaches and we always sit on these pods and we learn a ton. I don't know, and Dallin, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know that we've had anybody take it bite by bite, little by little, the way that we have with you.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. And I think every place that I've coached, I'm very confident has prepared me for these moments. You know, sometimes people ask me, oh, is being the head coach so hard? And I don't know. For me, it's great. It's wonderful. I love it. I think about it as teaching and mentoring. I think that as coaches, we have, you know, a tremendous responsibility. And it is, it's fun. And I wake up in the morning and I try to take a step back sometimes from the race of it all and go, wow, I have a team of women and a staff, which I would consider our team, where we sacrifice a lot for each other. And that's really, really fun. And when, you know, when this time is over, I'm going to look back on it and say, wow, I was blessed and I hope I was a blessing to somebody else. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, it's how you spend your days, and how you spend your days is how you spend your life. You know, we all know that. Right. And so if it wasn't fun, then I don't know, I'll just go live on the beach in Hawaii. Anybody who knows me knows that's the move, guys.
Yo, I love your perspective. That. Yeah. Your entire vibe is phenomenal, by the way. I love it. So, I mean, so I'm interested to ask this question because it is the thorn in a lot of coaches' side is the transfer portal is just how that operates. So how is your environment as you go out and pitch this and what you're doing and how you're approaching the game to transfers and people within your program that are contemplating leaving? How have you handled that situation?
Well, I think it's tremendous. So the first thing to that, Dallin, to me is you've got to adapt and adjust. And adaptability is a skill. You know, Monica, like we talked about, having be yourself with more skills. Adaptability is a skill that we feel like is a strength. When we look at building our team, we want to be able to adapt to play a lot of different styles. One thing that was unique about our team last year is we won games in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. I would challenge you to find another team that was able to do that. That's because we look at being able to adapt and adjust as a skill, one that's required in life, right? And so for us as coaches, yeah, the transfer portal is new and it's this and that. Well, we got to adapt. We got to adjust. We are very fortunate. You know, we have 3 transfers this season and we were very fortunate to know them, you know, out of high school. And so there's a familiarity there. The one thing that we say, come look, come see us. We're not for everybody. And at the same token, you know, it's that doesn't mean it's good or bad. We got to get out of that, right? It doesn't mean, you know, it's just this style isn't for you, or this style is for you and you can flourish in this environment. And we do that with all of our student athletes too. I am not in the business of wanting you to be in a place that you don't want to be. That's not why we do this. Everybody has choices. I think it's wonderful, honestly, because, you know, as adults, you have choices and you have to live with the choices that you make, and you can choose then to make it good or make it bad. You know, it is what it is. And so within that, I mean, that's kind of our approach in the transfer portal. And it's, you know, with an open mindset to team building, I think.
I just love this. This has been a great conversation. I think I love the idea of hard can be a neutral phrase in terms of it doesn't necessarily have a connotation.
I like how you said that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I took it. And the same thing with like fit, right? Like the idea of to stay or go in terms of the opportunities and the choices that these young people have, fit is also a neutral. Either you fit or you don't. And it just is. It doesn't have to be a negative. Yeah. I think that's so impressive, Kelly. What I think I'm curious in about what way maybe your team or a player has challenged you that maybe you hadn't forecasted. Because I feel like you got everything checked. You're ready for everything.
Oh, no. You know what? I'll tell you this because I know Zippy would share this with you too. You know, Zippy transferred to us, and there was a point in the season where she came to me and she was unhappy with her on-court situation, right? And she said, and this all goes back to communication. I think communication can solve a lot, right? And so she said, I thought you said you needed me, this, whatever. And I said, yes. Well, I don't think you're doing X, Y, and Z. If you do X, Y, and Z over time, let's see what happens. But it's about consistency and preparation, right? And giving them and helping guide them with the tools necessary. Well, we embrace those kinds of conversations. I like those kind of conversations. It doesn't mean that you're going to get what you want. That's life, you know? But with better preparation and consistency, great things can happen. You're going to give yourself a better opportunity, right? So she went from 6 points a game to 8 to 10 to 12 to 16 and a half. It was like, oh, but you know, I think that's just a great example of sometimes unexpected things happen sometimes, but right. Communication can really help you get there. And I always want them to tell the truth and have understanding, but understand that behind decisions, actions, there's people, you know, and be mindful of how you make people feel and just try to do your best. But no, I'm far from perfect. I don't claim to be. I love it when they challenge me. And you know, it's good to be in an environment where you feel like people genuinely want the best for you. And when you challenge each other, you know, if you love me, don't let me fail, you know, or don't knowingly let me fail. So we try to operate out of that space for sure.
Coach, let me tell you a real quick story. When Dallin and I first met, I was like, oh God, he's like too uptight for me. Like, I'm probably definitely more your kind of kid. More like regimented.
Yeah.
But you got to recognize what you need in life. Like I could have used that. I didn't need it. Yeah.
Sometimes opposites are good. Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe it's tough at first, but then you get there, you know, I don't know. Sometimes you don't know what you need, but I will tell you this, you know, we stretch and we challenge each other, and I try to challenge them to be the best that they can be. And not every day is, you know, sunshine and rainbows. It's just not, but that's real life. And so, but at the end of the day, at least we know we're trying to get to the same place, and everybody wants to do their best, you know.
Bingo.
Coach, you are awesome. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.
In the summer, and good luck next season. I'm sure we'll catch up down the road.
Awesome. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Monica and Dallin each week on the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. For more, go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.